Very good morning to you. Welcome to this edition of Down to Brass Tacks, the Monday edition of the program. It's going until 1 o'clock today, and we have some special guests as well. While I'm not necessarily going to lock the program down exclusively to what they're coming to talk about, but I'm going to give them as much of a chance as possible to share the information that they have with you. And at the same time, give you a little bit of flexibility. You can talk to them about what's on their mind. And at the same time, I know a lot has been happening around us. They're coming to talk about water quality, and it's timely. Today is a day that we just heard that the German government has issued an advisory as well. And that's on top of what we've had from Canada, the United States, and Britain. And therefore, there are people, if not in Barbados, outside of this country, who have a concern about the water quality. So these specialists, there are Gail Trotman, who is Laboratory Quality Manager at the Best Dos Santos Public Health Laboratory. Get familiar with that. That's the amalgamation of the laboratories, laboratories that we've had here in Barbados, recently opened as this Best Dos Santos Public Health Laboratory. Steve Daniel from the Ministry of Health, he is Environmental Health Specialist for Water Quality. And Alex Eiffel is Water Quality Technologist with the Barbados Water Authority. We expect to be joined by Anthony Headley, who is the Acting Director of the Environmental Protection Department. Before we get to them, though, you know, some people call this period silly season. And even though a date for elections has not been announced, if you listened last evening, you had the Barbados Labour Party one side, the Democratic Labour Party the other. And what is more important to us is the issues that have been put on the table. Now, even though a date for elections has not been announced, if you listened last evening, you had the Barbados Labour Party one side, the Democratic Labour Party the other. And what is more important to us is the issues that have been put on the table. Now, I think we should perhaps put in perspective what is happening here. I think this morning we sought to do something for early business, and I will share with that with you. I think that puts the current situation in some measure of perspective. So let's take a commercial break, and then we're going to come right back to you. Not playing that way. And in my day, they told me if you don't have horse, you ride cow. So we'll see if it plays this way. Prime Minister Stewart, as I told you, speaking to the Democratic Labour Party.
So, either launch 351 units, two.
Yeah, we got him in the middle there. So basically what he's saying is he's announcing that a number of people who have been renting units from the National Housing Corporation will have these units vested in them. Now, you're quite aware that this is not necessarily a new issue. The government, the previous government, the Barbados Labour Party administration, had spoken about this, but there were some difficulties associated with it. Notwithstanding those difficulties, here's what the Prime Minister has had to say, and he breaks it down.
So, either launch 351 units, 273 qualify. Ferniehurst, 154 units, 110 people qualify, 110 qualify. Gall Hill, 148 units, 96 qualify. Grisettes, 234 units, 152 qualify. Haynesville, 323 units, 238 qualify. The Ivy, Pleasant Hall, 70 units, 53 qualify. Bonside, 34, 25 qualify. Rosemont, 69, 50 qualify. Sayers Court, 32, 18 qualify. Silver Hill, 240 units, 151 qualify. St. Stephen's, 36, 20 qualify. Waverly Cock, 15 and 6 qualify. Lilly, 459 units, 354 qualify. And Watton, 120 units, 84 qualify. And qualify because they've already done their 20 years. But if they want to prepay their rents, make forward payments of their rents, if for example, somebody that's 15 years, that person is allowed to pay 5 years' rent and qualify as well. Because as John Locke said, again, I repeat it, property is an extension of personality. When people own something, especially real property, it does something for their personalities. They feel empowered. But that was not the only good thing that happened to me during the week. Something good had happened before. Because on Monday morning, I had a meeting with the people from the Ministry of the Civil Service and the Personal Administration Department and the Chief Parliamentary Counsel's Office to get a status report on our declared policy to effect appointments in the public service of persons who are working 3 years or more but were not appointed. And my heart was gladdened when I was told that every attempt is being made to ensure that all the security guards, quite a large number of them, who've been working for 3 years or more, should get letters making their appointments effective on the 1st of March. Persons at the clerical officer level, quite a large number of them, should do the same. Postmen should benefit from the same. Prison officers should benefit from the same. And I could go on and on and on. Now, there's another narrative going on elsewhere. Not that you should appoint these people and bring certainty and dignity to their lives, but that 4,500 of them should be sent home. Now, the government over which I preside finds that the stench of that offensive to its nostrils. No. I do not accept, will never accept that whenever the Barbados economy gets into trouble, that the workers are to be the fall guys in this exercise all the time to bring it back to respectability. We have to find other ways to ensure that we can correct our problems. If the workers have done nothing wrong, why should they be the victims of all of this?
So there you have it. Prime Minister Stewart, as he spoke last night, the stench of it, the government finds offensive to its nostrils. And of course, there are some people living on the South Coast who literally have to deal with that issue of stench. And that's why some special guests are here with us. We have been joined by Anthony Headley, the acting director of the Environmental Protection Department. So who's going to take the ball, the new ball, so to speak, and talk to us about trying to reassure Barbadians about water quality? I'm going to play the ball as I always play. You really think people can believe you are? I'll ask you, this is why I'm going to ask you this. Public servants, and there's a lot at stake here. Therefore, if you have the government of the United States, the government of Canada, the government of Britain, and now you have Germany putting out advisories on Barbados and casting aspersions on water quality in an election year, all I will do is ask you to do the best that you can to reassure Bajans that their water quality is safe. Who's going to take that ball? from the Barbados Water Authority, Alex Eiffel. Eiffel is a very burly fella. He looks like a guy who used to open batting somewhere sometime. So please proceed.
Well, I was never good at cricket anyhow. But all we can hope is that truth matters. And we know that based on our analysis of our water, we do a significant amount of analysis in our drinking water. We do it at source, we do it within the distribution system. Under the World Health guidelines, we are supposed to do about 8 to 9 samples a week throughout Barbados. That is impractical. So, because we have 24 distinct distribution systems, they are hydraulically connected, but separate. And therefore, we have to do much more than recommended by the World Health Organization.
How much more?
We do about 50 samples a week instead of 9.
Why is that?
So that we can cover all those 24 systems at more than one spot, so we can get a complete coverage of the quality of our drinking water system as it meets the public. And we test there for bacteria, the same bacteria that were found in the samples taken by the USA. We also test for chlorine residual to make sure that the water has a disinfection capability to destroy any organisms that might get in the pipe, say after a breach or so. So that's why we try to maintain a residual of chlorine in the system between 0.5 parts per million and 0.2 parts per million.
You got a lot of technical language to get involved in there, right. But let me ask you something. The Americans said the tests that they did suggested that bacteria levels were higher than they should have been. Was that correct? Were they wrong?
They have their standards, but their standards say for purified water, at least 500 parts for purified water, 100 parts per million. For ordinary drinking water at source, 500 parts per million. None of their sample, and note, these are what you call non-specific counts, called informing count units or heterotrophic plate count. None of the
What does that mean?
These are commensal natural things that can't cause any harm. We would call non-pathogenic organisms. None of their samples reached that 500 threshold that they set. So they set a threshold, and you look on the EPA site, you will see what the guidelines are.
So the threshold, and anybody else can join in this, the threshold that they set, essentially, if they had done that 2 years ago, if they'd done their test 2 years ago, they would most likely have ended up with a similar result.
I cannot say. Basically, this limit that they set doesn't match the findings that they had. Don't match a case for alert or notification based on their own records.
And
their own standards. Right.
Yes, Anthony Headley.
Good morning, Barbados. The HPC parameter in question, when we did some research and you look at it, some research which was done by the WHO, it was originally used, I think, in Germany initially when they were looking at cholera and typhoid fever. But the particular parameter in terms of the 100 coliforme units, that was really and truly associated with a treatment criteria. So it's a performance criteria for treatment plants. There are no epidemiological studies that connect this particular parameter to public health. So what the World Health Organization basically says is that, look, if you're doing this, it must be done in conjunction with FIBs, fecal indicator bacteria. In this case, the results that we saw from the US embassy indicated that they did total bacteria, they did salmonella, they did total coliform, and they did E. coli. the three parameters that we have epidemiological research for that shows a public health link: E. coli, total coliform, Salmonella. That's why the WHO has said you cannot or you should
they
not
use... They were absent
use.
In the water then. That's
they were absent. They were all zero. Okay. And the WHO basically says is that you should not use HPC as the sole parameter for issuing public health
That's
advisories.
What the U.S. did. Is that what the U.S. did? Is this what we're implying? That they
yes.
followed the wrong approach in trying to alarm people about the water quality in Barbados? Is that basically what we're saying? Okay, you're shaking your heads. You're saying yes.
Yes.
All right. Now, we still have a situation where there is sewage, raw sewage leaking on the south coast of Barbados. What are the potential dangers? Let us accept your argument that the U.S. were premature, previous, alarmist even, if some people might call it that, that they used the standard that really they ought not to have used, and they've put us on the defensive. But the people who live in the area and people who live in other parts of Barbados know full well that raw sewage on a street, or more than one street, cannot be good for public health. What are the dangers here?
Well, let me link it as it relates to drinking water. Now, the system, the sewage system, is under less pressure than the pipe system. Now, even if a breach had occurred in the drinking water system, the pressure would normally force water out, and therefore the probability of sewage going in to your drinking water system is very small. And that is why we also have chlorination to make sure that any bacteria would be killed by the chlorination.
That's another way of saying there's no threat.
Right? No, that I would not say there's no threat, because anything could happen. But the probability of something happening, also, when we lay sewer mains are generally below the drinking water supply, and usually on the opposite side of the road to the drinking water supply. So even if there is a breach, the probability of cross-contamination is extremely low. But to reinforce this, we have heightened the chlorination level along the south coast. We are doing regular inspections, listening for leaks, watching the chlorine levels and so forth. They've had no leaks in that area, and the chlorine level is up. Some people even begin to come, is up to 0.6 parts per million right now.
So I've heard so far from you, Alex Eiffel, from the Barbados Water Authority, and from Anthony Headley from the Environmental Protection Department. The question on the table is, what is the potential threat? And you've spoken about tap water. Of course, the advisories are not talking about tap water alone. They're talking about seawater as well. And ultimately, Steve Daniel from the Ministry of Health, the question is, what are, not just, Anthony is going to deal with the seawater, but I'm asking Steve Daniel to focus on the general threats associated with the sewage out there.
Good morning, everybody. Before I start, I want to go back a little bit to what we were speaking about with respect to the HPCs in the drinking water and the total bacteria count and the advisory from the USA. What I will say is that the Ministry of Health is also concerned with the same organisms that the US Embassy would do their water sampling for. What needs to be said, however, is that there are pathogenic organisms we look for, which would be the Salmonella, the total coliform, and the E. coli. And we, at the Ministry of Health, are concerned about those, and we are also concerned about the total bacteria, which would be the heterotrophic plate organisms. What is important to say is that when the Ministry of Health does its analysis, we interpret the data and the results in a way that allows us to know or have a better idea of where the threats may be originating from. So for instance, if we find HPC organisms, as was indicated in the US analysis, what that says to us at the Ministry of Health is that there may be an issue with a property or premises where water is being stored. And that allows us to investigate the source of contamination from that perspective, as opposed to directly wondering if it is within the supply that is being supplied to the general population. I don't know if you understand that with respect to the context I just laid out. When we see that, it narrows our investigation down to the premises itself as it relates to whether there's water storage on the compound, because these organisms are normally associated with stagnating water rather than water that is flowing in a main.
Well, you know, in truth be told, when I read the advisory by the United States, it never specified what the bacteria was. It just said that levels of bacteria were high.
Right.
But the ministry has come out and said, oh, it didn't have these three. These are the dangerous ones. That's what has happened. That's what the government has said. And I mean, we all went to school and we all recognize how you're separating out issues. Now, this morning you're saying that they have focused on a set of issues that the World Health Organization does not consider to be important. What's considered to be most important are these three bacteria that you have spoken about, correct?
No, you have to understand they are important to us, but they are important for different reasons. The pathogenic organisms, the three organisms that we're speaking of, these are the ones we know. We call them pathogenic organisms because they directly cause disease. The other ones that you're suggesting are not important, they're important to us from a different perspective.
Explain.
The perspective that is important to us is that it tells us there may be an issue with respect to the storage of water and sanitation of the container within which water is being stored. So it is not saying that they will cause disease.
Okay.
It gives us an understanding of if there's moss, for instance, or if there needs to be some level of flushing or some level of washing out of wherever that water is stagnating or being held.
Okay, so since the U.S. put out their information, what investigation has been done to identify the specific source of this particular complaint?
Now, we have not been involved in investigating that. What we do, I just basically explain to you how we basically, what it means to us as the Ministry of Health when we do our surveillance of water quality in Barbados. But as it relates to that particular case, we have not been involved in investigating that up to this time.
Okay, Anthony Headley.
I just want to follow on from that, just to make the point that we need to recognize that those properties are not owned by the government of Barbados. We've made a request for access to those properties. When access is granted, certainly the Ministry of Health will take the necessary samples and do the necessary assessments to determine whether or not there are storage tanks and if those storage tanks may be contributing to the particular results that were observed. So until we can do that type of assessment where we are sampling before the property, at the exact distribution end where the water is coming out of the tap, compare the two, assess the situation on the ground in terms of storage tanks and the maintenance practices of those storage tanks, we really and truly can't answer.
But yeah, all that we have heard so far, and I have a lady here, I'm sorry to put ladies last on this occasion, but I tossed the ball in the air and said anybody could take the first bite, you know, take the first ball. However, in all that we have heard so far, my question about the public health threat, I don't know that it has been answered yet. Though. You guys have spoken about specific aspects of the water quality and the extent to which the United States might have gone in the wrong direction, and there's a distinct possibility that the problem that they identified was localized, located specifically in the residences and that sort of thing. But I know that so many people out there are concerned about what's been happening on the South Coast. We recently had an outbreak of gastro around here, and no matter what you say, there are going to be people who would link it to that. So what is the worst that can happen here? Why is it absolutely essential that we get this problem rectified?
Well, the Ministry of Health, for instance, at this time, we have basically enhanced or stepped up our water quality surveillance in the South Coast, if you want to speak specifically to that area. And what we do is that we focus on chlorine residual testing in that area. Why chlorine residual testing? It gives us an immediate snapshot understanding of what the risk is. So for instance, rather than just taking samples and taking them to the lab, you will understand that to do that, it will take time for the results to be established. And rather than waiting on those results, and while you're waiting on those results, a hazard may be there. There may be a problem. And if it takes a week for results to come back, you would understand what damage can potentially occur within that week while the analysis is being done at the lab. So our methodology is not to just focus on taking samples. We do chlorine residual testing. That gives us an immediate snapshot on the level of risk that may exist. So for instance, as long as the chlorine residual is within the standard that we are working with, which is 0.2 parts to 0.5 parts per million, we are relatively comfortable that the risk of bacteria within the water supply is low or absent. So therefore, we can immediately give assurance that the water quality in the area is safe. And to this date, we haven't had any reason for alarm at this time.
When I come back, I want to hear from Gail Trotman, who is Laboratory Quality Manager at the Best Dos Santos Public Health Laboratory here in Barbados. Good morning and welcome to Dr. Brass Tacks. We have four water quality specialists here in Barbados. Gail Trotman, who is Laboratory Quality Manager at the Best Dos Santos Public Health Laboratory. One of the challenges that you have in talking about this is that you as specialists can find yourself speaking in a language that you understand, but a lot of my people don't. And therefore, I'm going to push you a little bit to break things down in simple language so that, you know, people can better appreciate where you're going and what you're saying. Your thoughts on the problem that we face. You think we get unfair?
Good morning. I don't know if I don't want to speak to the whether we got unfair or not. I can talk to you about the water quality issue. When we speak about water, people drink water, it looks clean, so you assume that it's clean. You cannot tell what bacteria is in water unless you test it. No. This whole issue with this bacteria that we were speaking about, bacteria is in water. If you have water going in lines, unless it is purified water, which you will usually buy in a bottle, water will always have bacteria in it. We cannot, at the lab, we only have certain methods to grow certain types of bacteria. They have bacteria that exists in water, and we can't grow it. We can't like culture it up to the point where we can see it. So
why is that?
Because they have there's a state where you say that bacteria exists in a viable, meaning that it's alive, but not culturable state, meaning that we cannot grow it. There are no established methods anywhere to grow them. But water always has bacteria in it. As long as it is water that is exposed to the environment, it's moving around, it's in the lines, you will always have bacteria. That's where your chlorination step takes part, right? Because once you would have water goes through several stages. When you pull it up from a well, it will be filtered several times, and then you will do your disinfection step, which is the chlorination step. So once you have done that, the backup now is to collect some samples, send them to the laboratory, and the laboratory then will perform certain analysis on it so that we can tell, or we can ensure that all the bacteria, all the systems that we put in place have worked. The disinfection have worked, and the bacteria is good enough for the people out there to drink. The water.
And Anthony Headley, the seawater, the advisories are alluding to this quite a lot.
Yes.
And that's really potentially dangerous to tourism.
Thank you. We have in place a routine beach water sampling program where we sample 18 popular bathing beaches on the island. This is from Haywards Beach right down to Oystens. The program was designed in such a way that we try to assess what is the worst case. So for each beach, we have a minimum of 2 sites. One of the sites would be reflective of, in our interpretation, the popular location where most people would gather and bathe. And then we would identify a discharge point, a large discharge point on the beach. We found throughout the years that if there is a surface discharge, particularly after rainfall events, there's a high probability that you can have some deterioration in the water quality, color deterioration. Sometimes that may be also associated with a deterioration in terms of the bacteriological levels. You may have a deterioration in the bacteriological levels, but it not necessarily means that it has breached the standards that we've recommended for this country. We've recommended the use of the US EPA standards. Since this incident started, yes, we have our routine monitoring program, but since the incident started, we also had a special monitoring program where we focused specifically on Worthing's Beach. The results, that program was ran from December 2016 to March 2017. And then it was reinitiated in December 2017, and it's ongoing. The results that we have seen from the special monitoring program, specifically December 2017 to January, the results that I have to date, we are still going to be analyzing the most recent results. Actually, my team is out this morning taking samples at the beaches as well. So for the period that I mentioned, December 2017 to January 2018, we assessed 10 sites along the south coast. And what we also did was we increased the number of sample locations, putting a fair bit of stress actually on Gale in terms of trying to get these results out as quickly as we can so that we can make the appropriate decisions. We took 84 samples during that period. And they were analyzed for enterococci, which is the parameter that the WHO has actually recommended for bathing waters assessment.
What is that? Natalia, you're going to press you because best as you can.
Enterococci is an indicator organism that the WHO, using epidemiological assessments, has associated with gastrointestinal risks in this particular instance. We've also analyzed fecal coliform. So these are bacteria. These bacteria is usually associated with fecal matter.
And we found no evidence of this in the water here?
The standard by the US EPA is 35 coliforming units. The geometric mean, to compare to the standard, we analyzed it, and the range was 1 coliforming unit to 3 coliforming units during that period, meaning that for all the samples that we took, the 10 sites, along from Amaryllis right up to Worthing's, that was the range, 1 coliforming unit to 3 coliforming units, implying that the water complies with the US EPA standard, which is the recommended standard that we use here in Barbados.
Okay, so, you're finished for now. Let me open the telephone lines. I mean, I know people have been waiting here for quite a while, but you know, sometimes you have to set the foundation, establish the foundation before you can get to taking calls. So welcome to Down to Brass Tacks, and quite a number of people are lined up to speak or to ask questions. Welcome to the program. And those of you who've been asking about the balance, because as somebody said just now, I started the program with the Prime Minister, and they want to hear balance. I have another piece, but not for the Prime Minister, from the Leader of the Opposition, but at an appropriate time, I'll share that with you. Down to Brass Tacks, hello?
Hello, hi. Good morning, David.
Yes, morning.
And morning to your guest. David, this program is a plan, structural program.
Well, I said at the outset that while they're here to answer these questions, I still give you all a little bit of latitude. So
yeah,
if you want to talk.
But a program as important as this.
You won't go off the air then?
I know you like that. But all I'm saying.
You say it's so important. You got something to ask?
David, give me a break. Just give me a break, huh? Because you know how you could get out there.
Only me. Go
Only
ahead.
You.
What you want to raise, though? Quickly, let's
no,
get to
no,
it.
No, what I'm saying, David, okay? I take your lips like a man. With a program like this that you obviously plan, that is so important. I think it should be an announcement go on that this is a program so that people like me that have other topics could at least you don't just spring a program like this up.
I agree with you. It should have been promoted and stuff. And you should in that. If I had promoted it, you would have recognized that you shouldn't have called this morning. I apologize. I really do. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Yeah. Good. Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah. Morning, David.
Morning.
What I want to say this morning, I listened to your opening remarks, and I've got three questions pertaining to those guests you have, and then I want to deal with one topic pertaining to the Prime Minister.
You ain't got that much time, but you proceed.
But that's what I tell you, you know that my time always short. You could come down and see that my time to be short.
And that's because it is even shorter because we're closing at 1 o'clock
that.
Today.
I know that, so don't take my time out, David. I want to ask those people there, aside from water, Tony, if there is boiled their water. I want to know, since that they used to put down, or they still have some, those storage tanks around the country like St. Joseph. And thirdly, I want to know when the color, this color, many people are calling that their water used to be brown. I want to know what was the reason for that, and if it was safe for drinking. So that is pertaining to those people on the panel. And then let me get to the Prime Minister. So I want the answer from them.
Go ahead.
This Alex Seifel. Yeah, discolored water. We've had some challenges with discolored water. This usually occurs when there's a change in the flow in the water in the pipes, particularly some of the older pipes. One way we've addressed this is by flushing the mains and by sometimes swabbing the mains where you put a sponge in the main and push it out. On a more permanent basis, we are dealing it with it by replacing those mains with PVC.
You're not asking me yet, you know. You're asking me, I'm not asking about no replacement. I asked you if that water was good to drink. That's all I asked you.
That water cannot cause any health concerns.
Did you take a test on it to know that?
We test the water monthly. Okay. We test the water weekly. All those things we do.
So why the water discolored people clothes?
Because when there is a disruption in service, the pipes are cast iron, ductile iron.
They will have rust.
The sediments of the rust will discolor clothes.
So rust would cause any bacteria?
No.
Huh? Now, don't tell me that. That ain't so foolish. Don't tell that somebody. Let me go on. Tell me now, pertaining to the tanks that you put down. The tanks that you put down. Do you all treat them? Suppose you had a breakdown now and water problem. You will put water straight into those tanks before testing them?
No. Those tanks are... Once those tanks were out of operation for any length of time, for more than 2 or so weeks, they are super chlorinated before they're put back in service. They're super chlorinated, then they're rinsed, and then they're filled with water from the mains. So yes, we also do tests. Also, when we super chlorinate them, we take a sample and send to the lab. So there are
none of those tanks so far has not been replenished. So I know you tell me. Anyway, let me go on to the president.
Those tanks are not in use right now.
Exactly. Right. Are so you checking them to see if there's any better anything in them?
If they are not in use, we wouldn't be checking them. But if we are to put them in use, we will hyperchlorinate them first, test the water, and then refill them for use.
Okay. Good. I hear you. Now, David, let me get to the prime minister. Something gone three nostrils. I know where did that gone three nostrils. I want Caswell Franklin, I don't depend on these two unions, to explain to the public that piece of legislation that was laid by the ONAFA administration that if you're working in government service for over 3 years, you should be appointed. Could you recall when over 6,000 people went home, the Prime Minister came and asked the public if they know the meaning of temporary?
I don't remember.
Was that three nostrils then?
I don't remember all these things.
Okay, but I only looked here. I want to know if none of that three nostrils when he said home, the 6,000 people that he asked if anybody understand the meaning of temporary. How come something going three nostrils now at the easy election? That's all I got to ask for you. And they left the program open for other people to make their comments.
Okay. Let's take another call.
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good morning.
Morning. I was listening to the discussion with your guests in the studio. One question before I go on to the other subject. BNSA, at any time were they brought in for an examination of what is going on, that you could get a report from them as well? Have these been brought in to do the test? Because
do they have a role to play in all of this?
Well, in true fact, they're part of our part of our test in various things as far as health and Barbados is concerned, our consumption.
So, do you know specifically what role they will be playing with respect to water quality, or you're just trying to find out?
I'm trying to find out.
All right, let me get Mr. Hedy to respond to you.
No, the simple answer is no.
They don't have a role in this.
They don't have a role.
No.
So then we must have to believe at least that, as far as our experts are concerned, they're voicing their opinion for us, and we're voicing, so somebody has to believe. But I didn't call about that, Mr. Ellis. I want to go back to the beginning of your program. It was not fair, you know. You said there were two meetings last night. There
but let me play the other one for you. I know how it is with you all. So this is Mia Motley, essentially saying that the Prime Minister has failed by way of not being timely in his interventions, and she was speaking more specifically here about the foreign exchange situation.
And the absence of timely intervention is what more than anything else will come to be regarded as the biggest crime of this government, along with trying to dumb you down and telling you that you can't do better or achieve more. Those two things. And what has Frandell done? They came back in 5 years ago. The reserves of this country were healthy. Their performance had been weak, but what saved them the first term is that even though they lost about $400 or $500 million in reserves, they still had $1.4 billion. Between March 2013 and today, this government has presided over more than $1 billion decline in your reserves, down to the fact that we are 5 or 6 weeks of reserves today. Now I want you to remember that number, because you need to look at other countries and see when their prime ministers took action, when their prime ministers intervened, when their prime ministers realized that too much of the house was on fire, and that if we don't out the fire soon, we can lose some lives in this fire. And who don't lose the life will be badly injured and hurt. In Jamaica, they took the last intervention when their reserves reached 11 weeks. But in Suriname, they took their intervention when it reached 6 weeks, as we are now. And what is the tale of Jamaica? And what is the tale of Suriname? In Jamaica, 4 years later, Jamaica has moved from 11 weeks to 28 months of reserves because they took timely, early intervention and brought in the people to fix up the problems, to fix up the economy, to deal with cutting down the expenditure and making sure that they're collecting the taxes properly. In Suriname, far from getting through, in the middle of their discussions and negotiations with the IMF, Suriname ran out of reserves. The oil tank, the fuel tank were empty, empty, empty. You could imagine negotiating with somebody when you ain't got no options and no cards to play. That is what Frondell Stewart is doing to us. And when he talks tonight at Queen's College, promising again that he will bring his, this is the eighth plan, the eighth plan to Parliament. I ask you this, if you had a car, are you carrying, let's call it a truck, are you carrying this truck to the same mechanic over and over and over? Each time you carrying it, Jeffrey, it's breaking down, it's breaking down, it's breaking down, it's breaking down. Better than I call you so because you're a mechanic. And all of a sudden, the mechanic tell you, I got a new schematic. I got the new plans for that truck. You will carry back the same truck that the mechanic gonna fix for the first 7 plans to him. Not unless you're a Mujan. And that is what he would have you do today. Bring back to him your responsibility of fixing this economy. And then he goes and tell you that he has brought stability to you. Well, if the stability that he has brought is 23 downgrades, there's a new definition of stability. And if the stability that he has brought is sewage flowing in the streets, and regrettably, my friends, there was another advisory this evening, this time from the government of Germany.
Okay, so that's the other piece there. I hope that I've satisfied both sides of the political divide by giving you a little piece of what has been said. What, part of what I consider to be the more important elements of what came out of these meetings last night.